Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this feast of the presentation, what we celebrate, is light. It's all about light. Light is the reason why we celebrate this feast day. We have this Mass not at 7 a.m. this morning, as normally we have First Friday Masses. Why? Is it dark at 7 a.m.? No, it's super light. Yeah, we're in the lengthening of days. We're almost in Lent right now. There's plenty of light out at that time. But here, at this time of the evening, we have it not. Next year, we hope to be able to have a procession, to be able to do so, because that's what the liturgy calls for, a procession. We'll hope to be able to enact that again next year. This is the first year we've done it, so we don't want to go too big too quickly and have too much confusion. It's a festival of light, a feast day of light, this presentation of our Lord. Who is light? Who's light? Jenna, do you know who light is? Who is our light? That's right. Do you know, Kennedy, who our light is? That's right. Jesus is. Jesus is our light. And that's the thing. Jesus is our light. And it's so important for this because what are we celebrating today? Jesus Christ is our light. What happened 40 days earlier? Who was paying attention to the very beginning of Mass? 40 days ago was what? The birth of what? Of Jesus Christ. It was his birthday. Christmas was only 40 days away. How quickly do those toys lose their luster in 40 days, right? We've moved on to different articles, haven't we, parents? But 40 days ago, Jesus came into the earth and we got to see him face to face. He was no longer hidden within the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And today what we do is the great action of the church. See all these beautiful candles which are here? These are all the candles that we are going to use here in our church here in Santa Rosa for the rest of the year. These are all of them. The candles which will burn brightly to the glory of God here in this church here. And what candles are to us is this. They are a visible reminder of the very presence of Jesus Christ. Why? Every time we light one of those little velas in the back of the church at the image of Jesus Christ, the Santo Niño, we're asking Jesus Christ to be present with our prayer and our petition. That this light would remind us of Christ's light leading that petition to its end, which is in the will of God. When we look behind me, we see another light which is just above my head. What's that light? What do we call this light? Huh? It's the sanctuary light. Well, why is it lit? When is it not lit? Anybody know? It's lit right now. Jesus is present. That's right. And when it's not lit, what do we know? That either Jesus isn't present there or somebody's forgotten to light it, right? What are the 2 days of the year? There are only 2 days of the year where the sanctuary candle ought not to be lit. What are those 2 days? Good Friday and Ash Wednesday it's lit. Good Friday and Holy Thursday it's lit. Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Why? Why those 2 days do we not have the candle lit? Porque él no está aquí. Él está sepultado. He's in the tomb. And therefore, Christ is not present. Christ is not present for almost 2 days. That's an eternity. That's an eternity in the life of a human soul. Because what Christ's presence does is it reminds us that there's hope. See, the presentation that we're celebrating today, this presentation of our Lord, the purification of the Virgin Mary, is all about the light coming into the temple, which is God's house. God lives in his house. And this is light itself entering the temple that is supposed to house light itself. So God is coming into his temple. And what happens here, as we see in the gospel that Deacon Marvin gave for us, is that it's all about Simeon and Anna. The prophet Simeon, the prophetess Anna, these two holy men who are, and women who are seeking God, longing for light for year on year on year. But they had no light. They knew not light. Yet they were waiting. And the very moment when they see that light is present, it says that they were driven into the temple by the very Holy Spirit who called them there to be present and alert at that very moment because they were listening to him. It says, we see them in their joy. We see that their light has come because the thing which they've been longing for the whole of their lives is present that day. And so they erupt with joy. That's the kind of joy that every Christian is supposed to have. Every Catholic is supposed to have when they come into the house of God. Remember what that beautiful psalm says, que alegre cuando me dijeron vamos a la casa del Señor, no? How happy, how joyful, how full of the Spirit I was when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. That let's go is the Holy Spirit driving us saying, I can't wait to get to Mass because there I will encounter light itself and I need light. Joy. Joy is what drives us on. Jesus Christ, when he comes into our souls, that is when, brothers and sisters, our soul actually begins to feel its worth. And we ourselves can begin to be filled with that same joy. You see, the light of Jesus Christ coming to the world, what it does is it opens our eyes to be able to see we're not alone in our sufferings. Simeon and Anna were young people, right? They were like 20 years old or something. Simeon and Anna? That's wrong. That's wrong. No, of course not. They're old people. They've been around the world for a lot. A lot of us here have spent many years upon this earth. They know what you're talking about. They have the sorrows and distresses of family situations that haven't gone well. They have sorrows and distresses of children who have not followed God. They have the sorrows and distresses of so many things which have gone on in their lives, and they have these sufferings. They have these darknesses which come and try to occlude the light of God within their lives. But the light of Christ lets them know they're not alone in their sufferings. That's what these candles, these velas remind us, that we're not alone in our suffering. So when we're in a trial or a difficulty, we take those velas and we light them. Why? To remind us of the very presence of God. The light has come into our lives. Simeon said what when he saw Christ? You know, this is a prayer that Deacon and I pray every day, every night before we go to bed. This is a prayer that every religious sister or religious brother prays as the last words that come forth from their mouth. Future Deacon Steve right here, who's hoping to become a deacon, will pray this prayer every single day of his life until at last he prays it in the kingdom of heaven. We say, Lord, now you can let your servant go in peace back to you, because I've seen your word be fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the glory of the Lord revealed. I've seen Christ, my salvation, not just for me, but for all peoples. There's nothing else left for me to do. Let me go in peace. His joy is realized in the very person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's light lets us see our true end, which is him. The light of Christ leads us beyond the darknesses which his world seeks to give us, where it says that this seems to be a dead end in my life. I don't know how I can go beyond this. This attack on my family is too great, but the light of Christ lets us see beyond that. And to see that our Lord will guide us surely on through even this, and yea, whatever else passes into our paths. When Simeon and Anna saw the light of Christ, what's their first reaction? They see that light, they take it to themselves, right? And they hide it under a bushel, right? No, what do? They let it shine. They let it shine. When Anna and Simeon, what it says there, read it in your books. It's there. It's present in your book. We don't have the right page listed on there, but it's in your books. What it says there is that Anna immediately went out and began telling everybody about Christ who was present, everybody who she encountered. And I tell you what, she spent the rest of her life just speaking those words. Never did she speak anything else. Just being an evangelist of Christ, the light has come. There is joy to be had. And what happens, brothers and sisters, that when we see the light and we take on the light, what happens is we ourselves become lights. That's what our Lord is actually calling us to do. Every single Christian, when we become a Christian through what act? What makes us Christians? Baptism. And when we're baptized, what do we receive? The priest or the deacon turns to us and says, "Receive the light of Christ," and hands the candle to the child or the godparents. And at that moment, they're commanded to take this light and let it be a light that guides them surely across the darkness of this life into the light of heaven. So that in difficult moments they may not despair or fall despondent, but to put their trust in Jesus Christ, who is love and mercy itself. Brothers and sisters, that's what our life is supposed to be. Jesus Christ is that light which always shines in the midst of our darkness, and our baptism when Christ gives us that, he allows us to become lights for one another, lights for those who need to see. And that's the question for us today in Santa Rosa. Are we a light to others? Do we do that? Does the light of Christ transform the darkness that's in our lives? When we encounter somebody in the streets, whether we're at the T&D or whether we're out at one of the restaurants or we're going about our business daily, are we a light to others? Do we immediately bring consolation to others? In our presence, do they just, their sadness seems to melt away and a joy begins to build? Or is it rather something where they see us coming and they say, "Oh no, there's that person who steals my joy. Oh no, there's that person who just fills me with mitote, that just wants to tear me down. Is that a person that I need to hide myself from because they are constantly picking and picking and picking at me?" What is it? Are you a light to the nations? Have you let the glory of the people Israel, the people who belong to God, are you a light for them in this world? Because if not, you're not living the Catholic life. Probably the reason why is because we ourselves haven't recognized that joy that is supposed to be had when the light of Christ comes into our lives. As Catholics, we are supposed to shine the very light of Christ from our centers, to shatter the darkness of this world, to bring peace and encouragement to every single person which we meet. That's the normal life of a Christian. That's not extraordinary. That's the normal, ordinary life of every Catholic. And if it's not the way for you, then you and I have to do something about that. The remedy is this: time in silence with the Eucharist. That's it. Time in silence with the Eucharist is the way where you're going to get that recharge. Because this very candle right here burns incessantly, recognizing the presence that God is here. It's not just a symbol, but it recognizes that God is actually here. And the closer that you and I get to the very presence of Jesus Christ, we can't but help catch on fire in his presence. I tell you time and time again, that chapel over there has never, ever been locked. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m., midnight, all hours of day and night, it's free and open for you. If you want to enter into the presence of God, if you want to catch that fire again, go and just sit. You can stay there all day if you want. See the souls that pass in and out and just have a recharge day, or maybe even just a recharge minute as you're driving by. Silence in the presence of the Eucharist is what begins to build our joy. And begins to make us light, and begins to cloud out the darkness from our souls. Today, there are many of you who spent hours here in Eucharistic adoration that we had from 9 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. with benediction. If you missed out on that, worry not. 24/7, God is present there and available to you, even if these doors here happen to be locked. God is waiting for that personal encounter. He's here in the church, waiting for us to catch flame. So today is a festival of light. Today, we celebrate the light coming into his temple. Today, we celebrate the fact that Christ did not remain hidden in darkness, but wanted to be revealed to all people so that all could see his glory. And if you and I aren't experiencing it, he calls us more deeply into his Eucharist. And at that moment when we receive him, Christ enters into our temple. May the moments we have left within this Mass prepare us to receive him, so that when we go forth, true light may shine in us and shine to the dark places in our lives, but also into the lives of all we encounter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.